Welcome to the Art Scene, presented each week by UALR Public Radio. I'm Ann Nicholson. Higgins Bond is one of the most well-known names in the world of illustration. Her work runs the gamut from children's books to decorative plates and magazine covers. She was also the first African-American woman to have her work featured in a U.S. postage stamp. Born and raised in Little Rock, Bond returned to her hometown to take part in the Arkansas Literary Festival and to showcase some of her works at Herne Fine Art. I caught up with Higgins Bond at the gallery, and we took a tour of her decades of artistic expression.
Art was always just a hobby for me. I honestly never figured I could make a living out of it. My father used to draw. In fact, I guess he's probably the first person I actually saw draw something, and he was pretty good, but mostly technical. He was a bricklayer, carpenter, plasterer. He did all type of building, you know, and a lot of times he would draw his designs out, and I saw him do things like that. And my mother was an elementary school teacher, so he would do things for her bulletin board and help her with things like that. So I guess I may have picked up a little something from both of them. I guess that's how I describe my work, is photorealism. I try to do very realistic things of nature and science. And most of the books I've done are nonfiction books about nature and science and wildlife, things like that. So I remember the first illustration I actually did was a pen and ink drawing of Donny and Marie Osmond for Teen Magazine. But I was able to do a books. The very first book I did was for a company called Just Us Books, and the title was When I Was Little. And my son is 44 years old, and I've done 44 books. It's about basically one for every year of his life, so that give you some idea of the time frame. You know, it usually takes about a year to do a book. But in between, I've done magazine work, book covers, limited edition plates, and I've done stamps. I did three stamps for the U.S. Postal Service. So the pieces that I've done for magazines, they'll call me up and say, we need this, and we need it in 2 weeks or a week. So, you know, it's a really quick turnaround, and you have to rush and get it done. So but books, you could kind of spread it out over a long period of time. So the Herne Gallery, they have been nice enough to kind of divide these up into categories. Like I said, the different things that I've done. This picture of Obama was actually something recent. I think it's part of my original art things, just something I wanted to do. And these were magazine illustrations. This was for the Crisis magazine, a kind of a portrait story of the life of Roy Wilkins. This actually was a recent piece. This was done about the Trayvon Martin tragedy. It's called Deadly Injustice, Trayvon Martin Race and the Criminal Justice System. So it was just a cover, simple black and white cover, very, very different from my style, mostly. Most of my illustrations are acrylic on either illustration board or canvas. Yeah, this is was a thing for Black Enterprise about the black businessman, you know, output of all the different areas. And this was a wraparound book cover that I did. Called La Chingada. Yeah, gosh, it's been so many years since I did this. This was 1978, pretty long time ago. But it's based on a true story. The Aztec Indians, I remember that, when they, you know, invaded the country. And this was the first picture in the Treasure Days series. You know, I told you a lot of my paintings were turned into plates. But it was actually my idea to do a series of children in nature. You know, each one has a child with a butterfly or something, you know, some aspect of nature in it. They're trying to teach us how to protect wildlife and live in harmony with nature. So Those I really felt strongly about when I worked with her on those. So.
But you think of a turtle being so slow. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, a baby turtle can runs.
Yeah, that series has been a lot of fun to work with. You know, I said we did a place for butterflies, fish, bats, birds, and turtles. We've done 6 books in that series. So. Most of the books I've done are about nature, wildlife, yes. Animals.
With the ones at the other end, which look very much they were bought and paid for.
Oh, really?
But the faces of the people who were being bought and paid for, you've got mischief in them. Oh. You've given them large as life and important.
I hope so.
You've made them very important, particularly the one or two at the right there. But that one with the machines, or whatever those...
The pipes coming out.
Yeah. It still has something that tells me you're doing a little something to those, so yeah. That they're not exactly what they were ordered for.
Well, that was... once a year, Black Enterprise would do an issue about the 100 top black businesses, and... That was going to be the cover piece to show, like, the output, you know, like all the different things that black businesses were involved in. Mm-hmm. And I discovered, you know, like my style I would call photorealism, but I don't want to compete with a photograph. I want to go much further, so I do surrealism. That's what I call those kind of pictures. It's realistic things, but in an unrealistic arrangement.
Yeah.
So... That way I'm not trying to compete with a photograph. I'm trying to go a little further than a photograph, you know? And like I tell my students, if they wanted a photographer, they'd just hire a photographer. You're trying to do something that's a little more special than a photograph, so.
No, I enjoyed that, particularly the one with all the different hats.
With the what?
The gentleman with the smart hats.
What was that for? Black Enterprise, yeah, it's about the African policy, and they're trying to decide which face is America going to wear. Are we going to do Andy Young's policy or Zbigniew Brzezinski's policy? So that kind of stuff is fun. I love coming up with ideas like that, you know, that tell the story with pictures.
Well, you have to, don't you? To give it originality.
Yeah, that's what it is, trying to do something that's original. Yeah.
I loved the face of the lady, the only woman in the
movie. Oh, the La Chingada, yeah.
Oh, what a beauty.
Thank you.
Is that the way she looks?
Well, you know, it's funny. I always tell people, realism does depend on photographs, so I do use photographs a lot. But I never copy anybody's photograph. It's plagiarism, it's stealing, and you could get sued. So my card is actually a puzzle piece because I see illustration as putting together a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking a bit from here and a bit from there and putting it all together to make your own picture. So that lady, I'll be honest, was a Playboy bunny. And she was blonde. And I changed her hair, and I changed her lips, and I changed things about her so that it would be my own picture and not copy her exactly. But the basic structure was from a photograph. So, like I said, I use pictures as a suggestion. A lot of the stories, like this book...
Is that the most recent one?
Yes, I think the Turtle book actually came out in January. This one came out in October of last year, so... they were close, but this one is fiction. The Turtle book is nonfiction, and this was such a delight because I don't get a chance to do a lot of fiction. And I have 3 grandchildren, and I actually got one of my granddaughters to, I didn't paint her face exactly, but I did get her to pose for me a little bit for this story. So it was a lot of fun to do something like that, but it's weird, it's kind of full circle. This was about a grandfather and a little girl, and my very first book was when I was little, which was about a grandfather and a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of years in between these stories. So, but I just thought it was kind of interesting that I ended up doing a similar story.
Right. Pictures and books are essential mm-hmm. to children growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they're adding a person's voice mm-hmm. and imagination, and the child can say, oh, no, you know, that's not right, that's not right, and point something that you have forgotten. Mm-hmm. And she suddenly brings it back up and becomes more important in the picture as you had finished it. But for her, she was the one mm-hmm. who created it.
Yeah. Kids have such imaginations, yes, and it's nice to let them express it too, you know, give a child a chance to express their ideas. But, you know, I when I was little, I just loved to draw, I loved to paint, and honestly, I didn't think I could make a living out of it, though. Yeah, I don't know if I told you that before, but when I first went away to school, I was going to major in psychology. Because I didn't think, you know, I never knew anybody who made a living from art. So it was only after taking one art class and comparing my work to some of the other students' work, that's when I decided that maybe I had something. So I transferred to the Memphis College of Art after that. Uh-huh. And I graduated with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Advertising Design. I'm still trying to be practical. I said, I'll work in an advertising agency or a graphic design company. And that's exactly what happened. Right after I graduated, we moved to New Jersey, my husband and I. And I worked at a Park Avenue advertising agency in New York City for a few months until I got pregnant. And I wanted to stay at home with my son for a while. And that's when I became a freelance illustrator, so because of him. And, you know, I've always feel like I need to explain my name to everybody. You know, my name is Barbara Higgins Vaughn, but I grew up in a time where Barbara was one of the most common names for girls, a lot of Barbaras. So I signed all my work Higgins when I was in art school. I had a whole portfolio full of work signed Higgins. And I got married in the very last semester. And I'm getting ready to go out and look for work, show this portfolio. So rather than erase that name, I just added Bond to it. And the profession, that's my professional name, is stuck that way. In fact, the people at Peachtree Publishers, I don't think they even know my first name's Barbara. they just call me Higgins, so. But anyway.
It's an unusual name, you know, it's what comes in books too.
Don't want to confuse people with it, but like I said, I got stuck with the name, and actually people actually assumed I was a man. And when I first started back in the 70s, it actually worked to my advantage. They actually thought that, illustration was a male-dominated field. So there weren't that many women. So I think that having the name Higgins Vaughn actually worked to my advantage for a little bit.
Well, I suppose it's suitable, but it does rather shame the public that they automatically go to the male.
It's sad. It's a sad commentary. In fact, that picture behind you is a good, I don't know if you can see it, it's a Peterbilt truck. And the Peterbilt company was actually interested in me doing an ad or something with Peterbilt until they found out I was a woman. And, you know, if I'd known something about sexual discrimination, I guess I could have sued them, but that was way back years ago, so I didn't even cross my mind, you know. But they were interested in me doing it until they found out I was a woman. So,
what about your children and grandchildren? Have they taken a different route, but also using imagination themselves?
Well, my son, believe it or not, actually majored in art as well, but he was more interested in sculpture. Mm-hmm. He was more into clay and different type of three-dimensional art. And believe it or not, the first job he got, he worked for Gibson Guitar, the shape into the guitars, you know. So until he got almost a really bad cut on his hand and with the saws, and he quit the job. So now he's driving a truck, so he had his art, he's not into it at all anymore. So he's got three kids to feed, so he's just trying to make a living right now. So
he place to a truck.
No.
That's interesting.
It made me think about the guy who wrote this book. He's a country western singer, Kit Secor. And this book has received so much notoriety, maybe because of him and his group. He's the lead singer of Old Crow Medicine Show. That's the name of his group. And whenever we do school visits together, he brings his, oh God, I can't think of the name of it. It's a guitar, but he has a fancy name for it, a plector. Oh God, I can't think of the name of it. In the story, the crow steals shiny things. So that's why he brings this shiny guitar, and the kids just love it. They really love it. He plays his harmonica, and that's another thing that the crow steals is the harmonica. So he actually plays songs.
Many people do that now.
Yeah. Wonderful musician, absolutely. He plays a bunch of instruments. But he entertains, he really entertains. I show them. I actually bought, that's what's in here, some of the actual illustrations from this story, and I show them the process, how we go from the manuscript to the sketch to the actual illustration, and show the process, how we go, you know, things are changed, how the art director adds things, moves things. Like I painted this picture, and in the picture, the bird's on that side, but digitally they moved it so they could put the writing that way. So, you know, the art director has discretion, you know, about how the book ends up. But these are acrylic on illustration board. And now this one, this is why I wanted to show you this one. When I first did it, see, the crow is stealing all the shiny things. So she looks over the window and sees that the bell is missing. So I thought she might have an amused look on her face. But he said, no, I think she should be frowning. So after I painted it, I had to totally change her expression, make her look frown. And in the book, there you go. See, he reversed the whole picture, and the art director made it the opposite direction, and he enlarged the bell. So I wanted to, you know, let the students see the transition that we go through when we're doing some of these books. This one, I show all the pigs, and see, they discover his lock key is missing. She discovers the scoop for the pig thing is missing, and the crow's stealing everything. And that's the actual painting.
Now, you, as the illustrator, you also work with the writer, don't you?
Well, not really. Like I said, if I can show you, this is what I've sent. This is all I get, the manuscript. And it's like the written word, and he'll and read some of his suggestions that I could possibly put on the page.
Yes.
The writing is gonna go on that side. You've got that much space to figure out what goes on there. So I start doing my research and do the sketches, and then I send them off, and like I said, he calls me up, and we discuss all of the sketches, and he'll tell me what I should change or move or do to it. And I want to show you how in this one, he decided to go closer so you can see the expression. You see, he enlarged things. And I think that worked to kind of soften my pictures too, because my pictures are very crisp. When you enlarge it, it gets a little softer. So he wanted more focus on her and her expression. So, like I said, it's very much a collaboration between the art director and the illustrator.
And I wondered about that because it says, it seemed to tell me, that you worked with the illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
You were the illustrator and she was the storyteller.
Yeah.
And that you got the storyteller complete and she put your artwork to the written word, but
yes.
This is a mixture.
Yeah. Well, that's just, like I said, I think they probably show the sketches to the writer, maybe to get their approval or everything, but most, like this guy, I never met him until after the book was done. I never spoke to him. They sent me the manuscript. It was up to me to interpret it, which was wonderful that he let me interpret it the way I wanted to.
Yeah.
But it's all about a tornado. She's afraid of the storm, and they try to calm themselves with music.
Well, there's one very lovely one, and I think it's the one I've picked, where the storm is calmed by the story.
By the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what they play, the music, yeah, and it calms her down. My notes up here says, might be light. And the reason he told me that, he said that he's going to put writing all over this. He said, it has either got to be dark enough to put light writing or light enough to put dark writing. So I went dark. Oh, and you should see the writer when he performs it. He reads the story and he puts so much emotion and feeling. He's so good at this stuff. I'm, like I said, this is all I can do, just show him stuff. This one, I had to do a couple of sketches because I couldn't decide. This was the first sketch. I thought, well, let's just show the whole room and get the cozy look of the cabin and where they live and get the atmosphere. But the art director said, no, come in closer. And I think you should move the hand even, so you won't cover her up or anything. So when I got to paint it, this is what I painted. And he's holding her, kind of calm her from the storm. And that's actually a picture of my mother, by the way, in the background. When she was young, she's like 87 years old now. And when you get to the story, same thing, he went in even closer. I showed you that one. He came in even closer, and you see, and I moved the hand instead of being up, it's down resting on the arm of the chair. But like I said, he liked moving in on things so that you could see the expressions a little more. And this one, we couldn't quite decide if she's going to be singing heartfelt or singing at the top of her lungs. So I ended up doing two sketches, trying to decide which way to go on it.
Yeah.
And at this one, he chose singing at the top of her lungs out loud. And in the book, again, he actually went in closer and cropped in on her. You see, he enlarged it and cropped in on the window. So, and they added the music through it. So, like I said, it's very much a collaboration between the art director and the artist. So, not a lot of input with the writer at all. But that's how we do it. And I always make a point of putting dates on all my pictures and all my sketches, so it gives me perspective as to how long it took me to do it. So, like I said, it's literally almost a year from beginning to the end of anything. Yeah.
Now, some of those paintings, the one that looks like a sailing boat, an old-fashioned sailing boat that's being hit by the storm.
That's the cover for a book called The Seven Seas. It's another children's book, but...
How do you explain The Seven Seas? Because for a child, that's kind of out of their experience.
It is. It's more... this book was kind of historical. They talk about all of the different explorers, Magellan and Columbus and all the people who did all of this traveling and talk about the different areas of the world. Gosh, it's been so long since I did this book. I don't remember a lot of the story in it, but it was, again, nonfiction. It was, more historical than
But children liked it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I talk about all the different things, we do. Children's books, textbooks. I've done a lot of textbook illustration. This was Mae Gibbons and posters. They just had the, 60th anniversary of Motown. This was done for the 25th anniversary. And that's a pencil drawing, by the way. Magazines, this was for the Crisis magazine, a two-page spread that I did. Magazine covers, calendars.
Mm-hmm.
Done a bunch of calendars. So.
Yeah, imagine calendars are quite popular.
Oh, yeah.
And they become treasures because they're different each year.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I guess that's something that illustrators, that'll always be a market for. We were talking about all the things how things have changed. They don't do plates anymore, and so many things are dying, but calendars, I think they probably will always do. Greeting cards, there'll always be greeting cards. That's a market for them, for illustrators. Like I said, most of these were scientific things about life and how babies are born. Oh, this is the one I really like. The analogy of an astronaut to the umbilical cord, you know, had the life support, yeah, and how they grow inside. So
you mentioned that there's some things you liked of your own that you've done, and because Garbo showed me the stamps.
Oh yes,
that you made, because they were so immaculate, you know, so small, but so full of history, I suppose.
That's true.
Yeah, of all the things that I've done, I'd have to say that that's probably the thing I'm most proud of, the stamps. Yeah. And I don't know if you heard my little footnote in history that I'm the first African-American woman ever to illustrate a stamp for the U.S. Postal Service. And again, with that name, Higgins Bond, they probably thought I was a man. But I was the first one hired to do it. And that how I got that job is a good example of networking, too. Jerry Pinkney, I don't know if you've heard of him, famous illustrator, a lot of children's book illustrator, and Thomas Blackshear, they were some of the first four illustrators hired by Anheuser-Busch for their Great Kings of Africa series, and that's something that I was very proud of, too. That gave me a lot of publicity. They made posters, they were in magazines, they were all over the place. But Jerry, because I knew him, we had worked on this jazz calendar and the Great Kings of Africa, so I felt like I knew him well enough to write to him, ask about the stamps. See, I used to collect stamps when I was a child, so I was always...
A bag of stamps that I kept for my son.
Really?
It's still there. Yeah. Nobody uses it.
That's what you hold on to. I still have my original collection, even though I'd stopped collecting, but I still have it. But I was so interested, I wrote to Jerry and I said, well, you've done all these stamps. How do you go about getting a job like this? And because I'd met him at some of the unveiling ceremonies for the Great Kings of Africa, I got to know him, and I felt comfortable enough to ask him, and it turned out he was now the art director for the Black Heritage series. He took some of my work to Washington, D.C., and the Stamp Advisory Committee, and those are the people that make the decisions about stamps. And because of that, I was actually hired to do the Jan Metzeliger stamp in 1991, W.B. Du Bois in 92, and Percy Julian in 93. So... like I said, that was a good example of networking, how you get jobs because of who you know. I don't think I ever would have done the stamps if it weren't for, oh, there's the calendar. I was looking for this other calendar. This was the first king that I did in 75. 4 years later, I did this one. And then when they had the 20th anniversary of the Great Kings of Africa, I did this third painting. But there were actually 30 paintings in all in the series, and a few years ago they bought together all 30 paintings and brought the artists together and had an exhibit at Morehouse University and in Atlanta, and then they divided up all the paintings and donated to them to historically Black colleges and universities. Mm-hmm. So they were we were traveling from New Jersey to my husband's hometown Brownsville, and stopped in at the World's Fair in 1982 and went into the Anheuser-Busch Pavilion, and there were my paintings on exhibit at the World's Fair. And I was totally surprised. I had no idea they were going to be there or anything.
That was Higgins Bond, illustrator and Little Rock native, whose career has spanned more than 40 years. Hers is a profoundly realist style, sure to make an impact on all that appreciate it. And that concludes the program for this week. Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UA Little Rock Public Radio.